On this episode of Bite Sized, we are watching and discussing the 29th scene of the movie Twilight. For those of you watching along at home, that is from 3639 to 3734. And now, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of Bite Size. Welcome back if you've been here before. If you haven't been here before, here's what's going on. My name is Ben Hebert. I am your host. I am watching the movie Twilight one scene at a time in chronological order with a new guest every week. If it goes well enough, I may even try out New Moon. I send my guest about 30 seconds to 3 minutes of movie. Then we talk about it for about a half hour with really no other context unless my guest has seen the movie before. Speaking of guests, today on the show, we have an improv comedian, a podcaster in his own right. He is the other half of the Star Wars Minute podcast. You heard the other half back in episode 10, Mike Gospel.
Hi.
Oh man, I said your podcast name wrong, didn't I? Star Wars is it? Sorry, we were talking a lot about Star Wars Minute.
We were.
A show which I owe a lot to in terms of format. No, you are one half of How Star Wars Is It?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, a different show.
Yes.
For listeners.
Rate and review things on a scale of 1 to 10, but of how Star Wars they
yes.
are.
Yes, and I got to say, I had your co-host Josiah on the show. A lot of Star Wars talk. Perhaps more Star Wars talk than the average listener would expect. So we're going to try to keep it relatively Twilight today.
Yes.
That will be easier because there's a lot to talk about. But all that to say, I'm going to start this off the way I start off every other interview on the show by asking you, Mike Gospel, what is your history with the Twilight franchise?
My history with Twilight is really only ever being aware of it when it was the kind of big book sensation phenomenon and then the subsequent movie sensation phenomenon.
Yeah.
I've seen the movies now since then, but it was really only in the past maybe 3 or 4 years that I was first exposed to them.
And what is the context of you first seeing them? I bet I can guess.
Yeah, you know,
just based on what other guests have told me.
I think you're probably right.
Pandemic hit and your wife got bored and said, "You know, I haven't watched the Twilight movies
in a long
time."
You're kind of right on the money. I don't know who brought it up, but my wife had seen all of them. I think she may have even read all the books as well. But we were, you know, home one night and whoever brought it up.
It was 2020 and you had nothing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, let's. Okay, fine. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
And then after watching the entire first movie, I said, there's 5 of these? Like, nothing happened.
Oh.
Does anything happen ever?
And yet everything happens.
Yes, right. Right.
So is she a big fan then? Or did she...
I don't think that she's a fan per se.
Right,
but,
you would know if clearly they were a bigger deal than it seems like they are.
Yeah, I will say my wife is a big Hunger Games fan.
Oh, interesting.
Which feels like it was right in the wake of this as a
It was definitely the first.
Thing.
After Twilight, there was this big scramble of what's the big next YA thing?
Yes, right.
And Hunger Games really stepped up and kicked off its own sort of YA dystopia book at it. That's where you get like Maze Runner and Divergent and all that business.
Yeah, yeah.
Hunger Games really is the first big... Hunger Games owes a lot of its success to Twilight and maybe Harry Potter. What are some kids' series we can adapt and then split the last book into 2 movies?
Yes, exactly.
That specific niche.
Yeah, this started that, right? The Twilight film franchise?
No, Harry Potter did that.
Did it? Okay.
From what I recall, Harry Potter was the first franchise that was like, we're splitting our last movie into 2 movies.
Yeah.
And then Harry Potter, Twilight did that.
Hunger Games did that.
Avengers kind of did that. Yeah. It's just what you
into
do
into the Spider-Verse.
kind of, I guess. But it's just what you do now.
But yeah, no. So other than the fact that I have seen all the movies in the sort of fun, it's the 2020s and we're watching it as like a time capsule of the whatever year this came out, 2008.
Yeah.
Oh, big film year.
Big film year, right? You got Iron Man, you've got The Dark Knight, you've got Twilight.
Yeah.
2008 changed cinema.
No kidding.
WALL-E also came out in 2008.
Did it really?
WALL-E, one of the most beautiful animated
Incredible.
Movies ever made.
I love WALL-E.
Yeah. It's a great one. 2008, good year for movies.
Yeah.
Let's get a brief overview of the scene. It's a sunny day in Forks.
Yeah.
The kids are eating lunch outside. They're talking about prom. The right. bell rings. They go back inside. Now let's get into the scene.
Yeah.
For real, for real. It's a sunny day in Forks. They're eating lunch outside. Is that something you can do? Do they let you do that?
It was school? Unclear to me even like at what time of day. I suppose it was lunch because some people are eating, but there are also like frisbees being thrown around.
Oh, believe me, we are going to get deeply into that. But there are kids with like trays, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's milk. You see milk
That's
cartons
true.
In the back.
And then the one guy in the kind of shallow background, like kind of nearest to us besides Bella, is holding a Ziploc bag, which I presume is like food, but
Again,
it does sort
will.
Of look a little druggish.
We'll
oh, okay, okay,
that.
Okay. So, yes, they're having lunch. Anna Kendrick has her eyes closed and facing her face up toward the sky as though she's getting a full body tan.
I have in my notes that this scene is 50% Anna Kendrick by volume. Because the entire left half
yes,
of the screen
yeah.
is Anna just Kendrick just her. Like pointed at the sun.
Yep.
Like just sunning herself like a lizard.
Yeah.
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 In ways that like I can relate to. I do that when the sun is out for the
sure.
first time in a long time. But it's just so weird
yeah.
that you would make her. She's so much closer to the camera than everyone else.
Yeah.
That you have this huge Anna Kendrick taking up half the screen. And everyone else behind her. And even when she's talking to other people, she's looking directly up at the sun.
Yeah. I think there is value to the approach Kristen Stewart takes to this character and the performance of Bella
okay.
across the like people. I think she gets like Europe very wooden, you're robotic. I think that's what the character is kind of calling for. It's
yeah.
kind of like the blank canvas, the Luke, the Harry Potter. You
sure.
know. I give her and all these young actors credit. This scene feels like they were rolling tape on a rehearsal.
A little
they
bit.
They are all over the place in the reads and the delivery, it feels like.
He's not here. Whenever the weather's nice, the Collins disappear.
What, do they just ditch?
No, Dr. and Mrs. Collin yank them out for like hiking and camping and stuff. I tried that out on my parents, not even close.
Guys, I'm going to the prom with Eric. I just asked him, I took control.
I told you that would happen.
Are you sure you have to go out of town?
Oh yeah, it's a family thing.
Okay, we should go shopping in Port Angeles before all the good dresses get cleaned out.
On Port Angeles? You mind if I come?
Yeah, I need your opinion.
I'll be honest, I probably watched this scene more times than any other scene I have for this show, just because there's so much going on. And I'm glad you have thoughts on this, because I was paying so much attention to everything behind
yes.
our three actors, yes. behind Kristen Stewart and yeah. Anna Kendrick and Angela, who's the actor.
Angela,
I do
yeah.
not remember the performer's
it's
name.
It's Christian something. I looked her up because I wrote down in my notes Susie Crabgrass, which was
yes.
the name of her character on Ned's
Declassified
School
Survival Guide. Absolutely. The three of them are to me, the least interesting part of this scene.
Yes.
Like,
there's a lot going on.
Truly, truly a lot going on. And we're going to get there.
Okay, okay.
But I want to make sure we get through all the other stuff.
Yeah,
first.
The actual plot beats yeah. that happen. Yeah, so... She said, you know, like sensing that Bella's looking for Edward
yeah.
and the Cullens, Anna Kendrick says, whatever her character's name,
Anna
says,
Kendrick
he's not here today.
Jessica. I think.
He's not here, or they're not here today. The Dr. and Mrs. Cullen always yank them out of school on nice days
uh-huh.
like this. It does sort of raise the question of how often is it sunny in Forks? Because if it's once a week, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, famously, the reason Twilight is set in Forks, it's because... It's basically the least sunniest place
okay.
in the contiguous.
Just like
48.
Always cloudy.
Right. Constantly rainy, very little sun. That's
sense.
Why vampires can hang
yeah,
out
yeah.
there. And so it's sunny infrequently enough that you could get away with that kind
sure.
of thing.
It is funny that everyone's just sort of like, oh, got it. Like, that's those guys all just get to skip school on these days because their parents are like hippies and they like going hiking or whatever.
Can your parents just do that?
I was wondering that myself because, again, if it's like, how many days off does Ferris Bueller take? Is it like 9 or something?
I couldn't tell you.
I feel like any more than like 4 or 5 and the school would be like, guys, come on, what?
Right. We're going to have to hold them back a grade. Yeah. I don't know. Again, homeschooled. I don't understand these things. We just sort of did whatever we wanted.
Yeah. I mean, their grades probably speak for themselves because they've taken like junior year chemistry, what, like 40 times?
They know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure they can probably get away with it. But
speaking of Kristen Stewart and her performances here, Bella is holding an apple. It looks like a Granny Smith apple. And she's sort of just messing with it the whole time. She's handling, and at one point, she puts it down on the filthy school picnic table and is just rolling it around. Like, her palm is open, apple down on the table, just rolling it like she's trying to get it as dirty as possible.
Yeah.
There is no way that apple is going anywhere near her mouth.
It does sort of feel like they were just given the direction of like, do like teenager stuff.
Yeah, here's an apple.
Yeah.
Do something with an apple.
Yeah. Don't eat it.
No, because then we'll know. Continuity. You can't eat it.
Yeah.
Just sort of mess with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. A lot of people all doing a lot of just business.
Yeah, a lot of business. Yeah. And I think it's a good time to get into that business.
Oh,
there
yes,
is a segment
good.
On this show called Extra Extra. Uh-huh. Editor Ben, please drop in the theme song here.
Extra Extra!
Thank you. Extra Extra is normally a segment devoted to one person in the background of the scene who is, shall we say, upstaging the higher build cast members.
Sure.
The most extra extra, if you will. Not today, though, because Extra Extra is going to be about 15 people who are all have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we can just sort of run them down one by one, starting with the two people directly behind our heroes.
Boy, let's talk about them.
Because these two are, I think, my favorites.
Yeah.
We got the guy who doesn't really do anything that interesting.
Yeah.
It's really more in what he's wearing.
What he's wearing!
He is wearing a brown polo shirt.
Popped collar.
Extremely popped collar.
And what I wrote down was, and basketball longs.
Yeah.
Because they are not shorts.
No.
They are like practically to his ankles.
They are like that one picture of Kevin Smith at a gas station, if you are familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
They are incredibly long basketball shorts that were of the style.
Sure.
In this sort of time period.
Yeah, no, the reason I even had that word at the ready was like pictures of me from then. I'm also wearing polo shirts and basketball longs.
Right. And like NBA uniforms circa 2003 to 2008.
Yeah.
Just the longest. It like shorts so long that you think they would be getting in the way.
Right.
At some point, I think you see him stand up and there's a possibility that that brown polo shirt is tucked into the basketball shorts.
Yeah. Also, brown.
Brown and black don't go together so great. No. I think he's also wearing like a green, like the color of Bella's apple green shirt under it.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess now we can sort of get into a segment that I've been wanting to bring back for a while called Student or Set Designer, where we have to guess, is this his actual... Did he show up like that? Or did they dress him like that?
I think they dressed him like that.
Okay.
I think I would venture to guess that everybody was dressed like professionally by a wardrobe person, but
there's no way that's true, but keep talking.
Because this, I know it was the first outing in the film franchise, but did it have a sizable budget?
This was definitely... this is somehow something that's never come up on the show before, but let's take a look at it. I know New Moon had a budget of around $70 million.
Oh,
I
so
think.
Not even triple digit millions.
No, in fact, New Moon may even be less than that. New Moon holds like a record for like distance between budget and box office.
Wow.
Like insanely huge. Twilight had a budget of $37 million.
Whoa, okay.
That is incredibly low.
Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose that explains a lot of the everything about the movie.
And so you can imagine, like, a lot, I think, basketball shorts guy. I think basically our three main characters, the three people who talk in this movie, uh-huh. are dressed by wardrobe. I think everyone else came in their own clothes.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible.
Because there's no way
with
their $37 million budget,
right.
most of which is going to Robert Pattinson, you have to imagine,
yeah.
there's no way they're paying for that many high schoolers to wear
sure.
stuff they kind of would already be wearing.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
So it would either be all of them or none of them. Like the guy throwing the frisbee or whatever. Like,
yes.
They probably just told a bunch of like 20-year-olds or 17-year-olds like,
come in your own wardrobe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Wear whatever it is you normally wear.
I'm sure that's probably right.
Because I don't think there's any way a responsible adult would say, here's some very long basketball shorts and a brown polo. Yeah. Make sure you tuck it in.
Right.
Incredible. Yeah. Sitting next to him is a girl.
Yeah.
Now she's not wearing anything interesting.
Yeah, she drew my attention a lot less than polo shirt.
I focused a lot on her.
Okay.
Because she has a book that she is, much like Bella's rolling around her apple,
uh-huh.
she's just doing business with this book. She's doing everything you could do with a book except for read it. She opens to like a random page close to the back,
uh-huh.
flips all the way to the end, just the sort of like when you take your thumb and like flip
yeah,
through a book,
yeah.
flips all the way to the end, flips all the way to the back to the page she started on, bends the book around in half, closes the book. And like not that fast, but
right.
over the course of the scene,
yeah.
that's what she does.
That is wild.
She doesn't read it. She points to it. Basketball shorts guy points
oh
to
my
it a lot.
God.
No reading of the book happens.
That is so good.
Also, fun fact about it. This is what confirms that I don't think these people got dressed, because you do see her at the end stand up. when everyone stands up,
yeah.
Kristen Stewart is sitting in front of her, so you can't see everything.
Uh-huh.
But when Kristen Stewart stands up and walk away, you do see that she is barefoot.
Okay.
And I don't think an adult would have been like, and
no,
you,
yeah.
barefoot.
Yeah, no, that's fishy.
Who does that?
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that they're outside on a nice day. Maybe it truly is.
You
want to
take
warm.
Your shoes off, feel
yeah,
your toes in the your, grass. Yeah.
You know, that actually, speaking of how nice of a day it is, I was not disappointed, but I was very aware of that this scene as a representation of the whole movie is decidedly not nearly as blue as the others.
And just like that, yes, there's the blue bell. My gospel, my
almost
guests
needs
do
to
have
be
a
the teal bell this week.
It's really not. Well, because, you know, it's a sunny day.
Yeah.
You want it to be a little warmer,
right.
maybe closer to yellow, but it still does have, as sunny days go,
yeah.
it's still a little
it's
on
like
the blue side.
Pale
of
sunny. Yeah.
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 Yeah. There is, before we get too far away from basketball shorts guy,
uh-huh.
Did you know he can teleport? There's just a bad continuity cut where
okay.
he's like very clearly leaning back.
Uh-huh.
And it's at the end when the bell rings and everyone gets up to walk
yeah,
away.
Sure.
And there's like the wide shot where he's leaning back relaxing,
uh-huh.
and another close-up shot he's leaning back relaxing, and then cut back to the wide shot and he's standing on the other side of book.
Okay,
so we got you.
That kind of thing. I didn't clock it, but because they are, you know, they're not the focus necessarily.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing always bugs me. Like
yeah.
if someone's in the middle of a gesture and then like the other take is used shortly thereafter and they repeat the gesture
right.
because like they just you know cut
it's not something
it.
I noticed right away.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
specifically. Watch to see if there were any weird continuity jumps like
uh-huh,
that.
Sure.
And I just want to say, whoever edited Twilight, we gotcha. Nice try, loser.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I will say there are some students in this who are doing things that normal students would do, who are just sort of sitting and talking
sure.
or walking from one place to another.
Right.
There is three or four, I think maybe three students playing frisbee very close together.
Yes.
A lot of drops.
Yeah.
In this less than a minute of frisbee that they have to play.
Okay.
There is, and for the fact that they are charitably 6 feet away from
right.
each other, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but if I had to, for a minute straight,
yeah.
play a three-person game of frisbee standing less than one body length away from each other, I think I could catch it every time.
Yeah.
And you can't say that about the students that
no,
were in this
that's really
frisbee
good.
Game.
It's giving the room when they play football really close
bit,
to one
yeah.
another, but, and, which is, probably just indicative of, like, we have to have something going on in the background. What do kids do?
Do you think they brought that Frisbee to school in the fiction of the universe?
Yeah.
Was it just there? I got way hung up on that.
I always, up until just very recently, we got a new car in October, but up until then, I always had a Frisbee in the trunk of my car.
That makes sense.
So maybe these kids were like me, that they just have that kind of crap in their trunk and they realized it was a nice day, so they got it out to bring in to school prior to lunch. But
how often do you use that Frisbee?
It was maybe once or twice a year.
Okay.
But if I would ever to the lake for a 4th of July party or something, I'd be like, oh, I'll grab this when I grab the blanket we threw back there or whatever. But no, not that much anymore.
I'm embarrassed to admit this, but let's do it. The one piece of sporting equipment I kept in my car, just in case it ever needed to be used, was a croquet mallet. Not because I played croquet or thought that a game might break out, but because my senior year of high school, maybe a few weeks after I got my first car, I was in some woods behind a church, as you do, and found a croquet mallet. And thought, this is funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else would be funny?
Yep.
Is if I put it in my car and left it there in my car so that I have a croquet mallet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that is funny or not, because I never... The extent that bit ever got played out to was with someone ever got in the back of my car, which was rare. The odds of there being more than one person in my car, especially more than two, didn't happen very often. Is that someone would say, what's that?
What's this?
And I would say, oh, that's a croquet mallet that I found, and I keep it in my car now. And they would say, oh, okay.
Cool.
The bit never grew to what I don't know why I, as a 16-year-old, thought, croquet mallet in my car.
Yeah.
No one else has that. That's funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Too bad that never really panned out.
Let's stop talking about how I was in high school now. Let's start talking about the thing that made me most excited to talk about this scene, which is the hacky sack circle.
Okay.
It took several watches for me to realize that in this hacky sack circle, there is, in fact, a hacky sack.
Yeah.
Because these children... these actors, I have to assume they are actually high school age, so I do want to be at least somewhat nice to them.
Right.
But it really does seem, of the five or six people in this circle, maybe one of them has encountered a hacky sack before.
Yeah.
And then there's one guy who's clearly not very good at it, and you see about two or three times, he tries to he starts with it. He tries to bounce it off his knee and then sort of kick it from behind, and it takes about three attempts for that to work. You watch him a couple times have to go retrieve his own hacky sack.
Yeah, that feels like what a 16-year-old playing hacky sack would encounter.
True to life.
But in movies... something that also not bothers me, but it's something I think about sometimes with movies, is nobody ever messes up words they say. No one ever has to be and that is another example where it's like, well, this is a movie, let's make sure that every time you're kicking the hacky sack it doesn't fall on the ground.
That was very relatable and realistic, because anytime I ever tried to hacky sack, it more or less went like that.
It's not easy.
No.
It looks effortless and fun, and hey man, we're hacky sacking.
If you can do it, it's great.
It's not that easy.
Yeah. No. The reason I didn't believe there was a hacky sack in this circle for a long time is because there is so much more kicking than there should be, to the extent that there's no way that one hacky sack could justify that many kicks. And so watching it, I thought, well, the director told them to pretend to play hacky sack without a hacky sack.
Right.
And so that's why you see three people kicking at the same time. But then if you watch very closely, there is a hacky sack. But you can still clearly see people kicking at nothing.
The only other thing I have is indeed a Star Wars thing.
All right. What is it?
Because I was trying... I know when you and Josiah talked, how Star Wars was the scene you were watching.
Yeah.
How Star Wars by extension
how Star Wars
is
was,
the movie.
Right. How Star Wars was this scene.
I don't know that it's really Star Wars at all, because it's basically only three female characters.
Talking to each other.
I'm not certain that there have ever been three women in Star Wars in the same room talking at the same time. Unless we're talking about one of the animated shows, or maybe something more recent, like the like maybe the Ahsoka show had three women at one point in time, but like only by the skin of their teeth.
Right, right.
But one thing I was curious about, something we do on our podcast sometimes, is if we're watching a movie or you know, reviewing a movie on a scale of 1 to 10 of how Star Wars it is like, are there any actors in common? And nowadays, Star Wars is so big and it's been going for so long that like more often than not, there's at least like a voice actor or whatever. And of the three, I don't know what polo shirt guy's name is.
Okay.
But of the three kind of main teen girls in this, none of them are in a Star Wars thing to my knowledge. But I found kind of a weird little A to C jump with one of them.
Were we Kevin Baconing this one?
A little. Yeah. Do you have any inclination as to what that might be?
Oh, I'm playing my own version right now. And I bet if you gave me time, I could figure out a couple. Because Kristen Stewart and Anna Kendrick have been in a lot.
Right.
And I'm sure
Anna
Kendrick, certain,
I'm sure, has like an A to C as well, but the one I found kind of quickly was Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
If that helps.
I mean, depending on how much time we want to sit here and give me to think. Now I'm curious. Let me see.
So this movie that this is the first one I came to.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Came out in 2008.
Okay, same year.
Big year for film.
What was the movie?
Jumper.
Oh, of course. With Hayden Christensen.
With Hayden Christensen.
Oh, man.
That was my like kind of closest, you know, like
skip a
person kind of thing. I think it's probably only a matter of time though before one of them is in some kind of Star Wars thing.
Surely.
You know?
Yeah. If you were a student in Forks High School, which group out here in this little quad do you think you'd be hanging out with?
Gotta be the Frisbee Kids.
Yeah?
Yeah.
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 Why?
Because it was my Frisbee.
Okay.
I got it out of the trunk of my car.
Yeah. I think I would be Frisbee Kid too, because I secretly, if a Frisbee is out, I'm always like, I want to play with that Frisbee.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun. They're easy to read in the air as they're traveling. You know, you can kind of like foresee where they will go and then try to beat them to that position.
Right. And they're like, they're relatively easy to catch.
Yeah.
You just sort of
like
sandwich.
Alligator slap.
Right, right.
But I would be going to Port Angeles before all the good tux
suits,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I went to the prom once and we matched one another, the color at least. So like my tux was like a black jacket with a very satiny, shimmery blue vest, like royal blue, because she was wearing a royal blue dress. So if you're doing that angle, Port Angeles can't have that many like solid color tux vests.
No. I mean, I feel like that's pretty standard.
Maybe, yeah.
Menswear for prom is just black tux with the bow tie and vest matching. Yeah. All right, let's start to wrap this up. Final question of the interview. You knew this was coming. You just told me you were not prepared for it. If you had to give this scene a name, what would it be? This is going to be the name of the episode, so make it good. And you knew this was coming because you listened to a bunch of episodes this week, so make it extra good. And you just told me you weren't going to be good at it, so let's see what happens.
So, again, because of the blueness being
based
knocked
on everything
out
we've talked
by
about
the,
today.
The sun kind of knocking out the blue and making it more teal of a filter. I'm thinking maybe keeping it teal.
Keeping it teal? Okay. Out of everything we have talked about.
Yeah. No, you know what? That can be like a in the very Star Wars fashion. That's what this episode gets retitled, later on. Maybe it's just something like brown polo shirt basketball longs.
I'm torn between
keeping it to you,
comedian Ben who loves a long and unwieldy title, and podcaster Ben who knows that I have to A, type this into my hosting software, and then B, people will have to find it and listen to it. So let me just clarify. The name of the episode that you want is Brown Polo, comma, Basketball Longs, colon, Keeping It Teal.
That is correct. That is what I want.
Well, and as punishment, see, the reason I do this, there's two reasons I ask my guest to come up with a name. Number one is I think it's fun. And number two is so that I don't have to do it myself. And I guess as punishment for my laziness, I have no choice but to still stick
with... You got a title as long as that guy's shorts.
Brown Polo Basketball Longs, Keeping It Teal. All right. I mean, if it was just me.
Yeah.
Just me just thinking. I'd probably just knock it down to Basketball Longs.
Yeah, that's cleaner.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah.
We're stuck with this.
Yeah.
Mike Gospel.
Yes.
If people like the sound of your voice and the cut of your jib, and they maybe want to hear you do things either recorded or live or on social media, where can they do such?
Yes. I also, like we've mentioned, have a podcast with a former guest of this show, Josiah Robinson, yes. called How Star Wars Is It? We review different topics every week, give them a score of how Star Wars they are. We need to get you on. I know what you guys talked about
yes.
not doing Twilight, maybe.
I will tell you what I told Josiah. Is
yeah.
There are very few things I'm more qualified to talk about than Twilight.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
also concerned that at some point I will run out of things to say about Twilight.
Yeah, that's where we are kind of with Star Wars, because yeah. we've been doing it for 5 years, and we're like, we'll go 55 minutes in an episode and be like, oh, right, we have to talk about Star Wars
yeah.
now. I'm also part of a couple of different music improv groups here in Chicago. Anarchy, the improvised rock opera,
heard
which we play together on, and Baby Wants Candy.
Also heard of it.
So you can find those on social media at
sure.
Anarchy Music Improv and at Baby Wants Candy, I suspect.
IO Theater and Second City
yeah.
here in town.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I also have, it's been sort of dormant lately, but I have big plans this summer, hopefully, to do some more stuff on my YouTube page.
Okay.
It's Word Gospel 09.
Okay, and it's about Bible stuff, I assume?
A lot of Bible stuff.
Just based on the name.
I want to turn like drawings, like I want to do like kind of comedy videos about drawings that I do
okay.
like digitally.
Cartoons
so.
Then.
Yeah, yeah.
You just described cartoons.
Yeah, comedy drawings.
yeah.
comedy drawing videos.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is cartoons, huh?
Yeah, basically.
It's my cartoon YouTube, so check that out.
All right, there you go. If you want to follow the show on social media, do so at bitesizedpod_ on Instagram and TikTok. Send an email to the show if you want to talk about something. Tell us we talk too much about Star Wars. You can send an email to myfavoritetwilightpodcast@gmail.com if you want to do that
a
sort
great,
of thing.
A great
I
email.
Tried to find something with the name of the show in there.
Yeah.
They were all taken. Thank you so much to my editor, Ben Oxford, for putting the show together. Thank you to the band Swimwear Department for letting me use their song Mauled to Death as our theme. If you had a good time, share the show with people you know that you think might also like it. Talk about it on social media. Give us a review. That sort of stuff that helps the algorithm work for us. That is it. That is all we have today for this episode of Bite Size. As we say at the end of every episode,
keep it teal.
Keep it teal. See you next time.
Do like teenager stuff.